This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have another sport about to start up again, and that's the NBA. As today, you'll start seeing now around the league, including here in New York, both New York teams will start what traditionally, and yesterday, see, the way it usually would go, and I know we're still late in the go here because normally it was October when we do this, is this would be media day, the day before training camp. Media day it's a fun day. It's sort of like first day of school. And they'll have the players available. You ask them all the questions that within 3 days, those questions are irrelevant because most of them are answered by then. But you're working on features, everything else. And so they'll introduce their new players. Everybody's wearing their jerseys. You get all the photos taken. Those stock photos that you see used for the rest of the year are all taken on that day. So if somebody has a clean shaven face on a media day, and then by like January, he's going all Stephen Adams beard. That kind of stuff. Like, he looks completely different, longer hair, different hairstyle, whatever it is. That's just generally, this is the day that happens. Now, I've gone to media day for the Knicks for the last, 15 years. And this will be the first time there's no
in-person. I'm a man. I'm 40. Day.
Stop reminding me. So, everybody in the league will be doing it this way. They'll be doing it via Zoom. And that's what we're seeing right now. Is you're going to have, and I actually believe there's a couple that are going to be actually just underway, where the players will talk via Zoom to the media. It's just not going to be as personal. It's life. The coaches will talk. And then what they're doing now, the protocols that the NBA has put out for training camp is interesting. So from what I've been told is that the testing has started over the weekend. Players have been asked to quarantine since the 17th, the 27th. And so they're arriving now at the facility. Now, you have to have three negative tests before you're allowed in the gym. And so players and coaching staff. Now, you can't have more than four players and four staff members on the court at the same time right now. So you're not getting your full five-on-five action. Like, that's not going on right now. So for Tom Thibodeau, it's still sort of like weird OTAs like he was doing back in September. They'll do some stuff. They'll get some guys into shape. I'm sure guys have been training, working out, and everything else. But you're really not going to have a chance. From what I understand, you're not going to have a chance to get into a full regular type training camp with your full roster until the weekend. So as we're waiting to see Kevin Durant and what he looks like, first of all, I don't even know if we're going to get to see camp. Like, I'm sure teams are going, I wonder, I've got to ask this, because I forgot to ask this question. And how much, because the NBA gives their protocols to each team about media access. Now, since you can't go to the facility, normally they'd let you in towards the end. You can watch maybe a little scrimmage. They'll shoot free throws and then you go talk to players. That's not going to happen now. So I wonder if they're going to release, some footage from camp at all. Which will be completely sanitized. You won't really see anything. But at least you'll get an idea of what's going on in practice, who looks good, who doesn't, anything like that. So I'm sure that, but that's the most you're going to get now. And normally that was the best thing, was to watch and you'd kind of get a feel for certain players. Like, there were moments last year, I'll never forget, that were behind the scenes, where the first time I saw R.J. Barrett in practice among vets, and I said, this kid ain't afraid of anybody. He's a real one, because you just saw how he competed. He didn't back down from anybody. And so you realize, okay, this guy's a real one. And there's little things like that. It's little nuances. It's not just who's making shots and who's handling the ball and who makes moves. It's also, especially those young guys, who competes, who doesn't, who's an alpha, who's not. All that stuff stands out, and it gives you an idea of the way to forecast the season. So you don't get to do that this year. You don't get to watch it. So that's now what you wait and see, is how much we'll get to see. But if you don't get to have a full practice with your group until the weekend, then you have to, let's see, that'd be next Friday. So a week from Friday is when the preseason begins. So you essentially have a week to get your guys together and acclimated, and it's a fairly new team. And then you look at the Nets side of things, it's a new everything. That's a new everything. I mean, you can't look at it and say, well, the Nets, they know each other. No, they don't. It's a whole new coaching staff. adding Kevin Durant is a completely different dynamic than what they had. Completely different. It's different for Kyrie. It's different for Dinwiddie. It's different for LeVert. It's different for Jared Allen. It's different for everybody. Joe Harris, who probably has to reintroduce himself to everyone when he shows up. At least he got paid, though. But, you know, you've got Steve Nash, who's never coached before, but he does have at least Mike D'Antoni, who certainly has. Knows how to run a training camp. Knows how to run practice. Which essentially, Mike D'Antoni practices, but I covered a lot of them, are scrimmages. Really, they don't do a lot of individual stuff. They don't do a lot of that type of stuff. Although all of their development is done before practice and after practice. And it's up to the player. So on their end, it's going to be get a lot of scrimmage in, get into flow, get into feel, because they play that way. It's a very loose style, as we know. They don't put a ton of defense in. It's not something they really do a lot. Now, they're going to. They have a coach who does coach defense there, in Udoka. So they have somebody that can run that. But I'm just saying, like, for the Nets, time is of the essence. Well, you want to see a group that, although Kyrie and KD have spent a lot of time together in L.A., they've worked out a ton. And that's important. But it's those two with the group that has to work. Because you've got to figure out, it's not your most talented five. I've said this about, like, and this is about everybody. It's not going to be the most talented five you put on the floor with KD and Kyrie. You've got to put the most complementary five. You've got to put the pieces that they need that fit the way they play. So guys that need the basketball, it doesn't make sense. You need to be able to do other things. I need you to be a spot-up guy. Like Joe Harris is a perfect fit. Perfect fit. Because he's a spacer. He's not a great defender. Average, adequate, but not a great defender. And neither is Kyrie. So putting them together in the backcourt does make you wonder, is this the best thing? Well, what's going to protect them? All right, now I need a guy in the wing who I know is a spacer and yet also can defend. I need that guy. So building this five, I love playing that game, starting fives. And for the Nets, the starting five is not as a given as you think. It really isn't. If it's me, I've got Dinwiddie coming off the bench. I got Dinwiddie coming in as my scorer. When Kyrie comes out, you come in. Offense runs through you. He has to learn how to play at times with KD. But he also has to learn to, at times when those two are out of the game. Because, look, they have 72 games to play this year. Then they'll have the playoffs. Kevin Durant is not going to play in 72 games. I might venture to say he might not even play in 60. There's no reason. He's been off for almost 2 years. He's been working out a ton, but why, at his age, with that injury, why would you want to wear that thing down? No reason. Build it up. By the end of the year, maybe he plays more often. Early on, I can't see him playing against scrubs. He'll play good teams, but don't play the bad teams, or at least keep his minutes low. So that's why you're going to need a good bench. You're going to need guys who can come in the bench and score. The Nets are going to be a really interesting team, guys. I know a lot of people that listen to the show are Knicks fans, and they don't want to hear this. But a lot of us here in New York are basketball fans, and you got to look past that it's the Nets. Look past all that and look at the fact that this is going to be a really good basketball team or a really interesting one. It's going to be one or the other. They might not be great out of the gate, but there'll be times where they play, especially when they play bad teams, where they're going to destroy teams. And it'll be embarrassing. Now, when they play those hardworking teams, that's what I think they won't want. They don't want any part of that stuff. They're not built that way. That's not a diss. That's not anything like that. That's just reality. That would be me too. Like if it's early January, I don't want to deal with this team. This team's coming, they're picking me up three quarter court. What the hell is this? I'm not ready for this. I don't want to deal with this. Like that's the thing. In your head, you're like, this team's a scrub. They're not going to be there when it matters. I don't want to have to try against them. So those are the games that you really want to watch and see, okay, well, if that's the case then, and you know that guys like Kyrie don't want that stuff. They don't want to run off screens. They don't want to run into guys like Steven Adams. They don't want to run into guys like Enes Kanter. They don't want to run into those kind of big, you know, those giant humans that set hard screens. They don't want to play that game. They hate that stuff. So that's the those are the games to watch with them. But overall, though, I mean, you give me the Nets and the Bucks, that's a fun game. Give me the Nets and the Sixers. I'll watch that game. That's a fun game. You give me the Nets and the Celtics. See, those are the games I'm tuning in. Those will be fun. Those will be fun games. On the Knicks side of things, we know what it is. Everybody wants to have optimism, and you should. But there's a reason why they still have $18 million in cap space left. Nobody wanted it. And there was really nothing to spend it on. It also kind of makes you wonder, did they spend properly? We want to believe in what they're doing. You want to think they have a plan. They're picking up all these draft picks. They're collecting that. They might have been willing to take on some salary if they could have gotten more picks. Didn't happen. They keep the flexibility by signing guys to 1 years and one-plus options. But when you look at it, the Knicks are still what they were last year. And I know all you want to say, yeah, bad team. No, they're a young team, but they don't have anybody yet that we know of that when they walk in the gym, the opponent is planning for that player. That's very important in the NBA, guys. The Knicks don't have that guy. And when you don't have that guy, you're not a good team. That's just reality. Again, this is not a knock. This is not a diss. This is reality. Until the Knicks establish they at least have one dude that when you walk into every NBA gym, the other coach is worried about you, is worried about that guy, then you might have something. But you don't have that. Teams are not game planning for RJ Barrett. No, all due respect, they're not. They're not game planning yet for Obi Toppin. Maybe one day they will, but not right now. They're not game planning for Julius Randle. They're just setting their defense, and they're trusting that their talent is better than your talent. Most of the time, that's what's going to happen. So the Knicks are going to have to be, and I mean this, your best player has got to be Tom Thibodeau. That's it. When you ask me about the Knicks' chances this year, my response is they're only as good as Tom Thibodeau will be preparing them. They'll be competitive because he's a great coach who prepares his teams. He never gets out-coached. He's onto every strategy. He's really good at playing chess, in-game adjustments. He sees things. He knows what the other team's running, all that stuff. You got to trust me on that. So while the Nets will have KD and Kyrie to out-talent you, the Knicks have to have the better coach every night. And then and only then will you be able to say, okay, this is the direction they can go in. They're still very much a work in progress. That's the reality. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls. All right, Spike in New Jersey. What's happening, Spike?
Good afternoon, my friends. This is How Many with me and you on Media Day, if you want to title it that. So I'm optimistic. It's my nature. You know that. I'm looking at the depth chart. And I guess Alec Burks is about the only shot maker you got on this if you need a shot at the buzzer. with 3 seconds, no timeouts. Who are you going to give it to? I guess Burks would be the best guy, am I right?
Maybe. I don't know. Austin Rivers is a guy that can create a shot. I don't know if he'll make it, but he can create it.
Listen. I'm okay with what they did. No sense in throwing money out. You got the 1 year contracts. The projects are going to be the same projects we've had. I'm looking at, looks like 7 or 8 lottery picks again. Been down this road. I'm optimistic, but don't take this the wrong way. And I'm not self-aggrandizing with this. I want to see you guys. I enjoy that immensely, your breakdown of the game, even though it's been stressful for you, Wally and Bill, for the last couple of years. Yeah, but I enjoy it. You know, it's my entertainment.
It's basketball, though. You know, it's basketball.
I don't know what he's going to do with this bunch. I'll tell you one thing. They're going to play their asses off, or they're not going to play. I would love for you, as a favor, possibly, for all the years we're talking, I don't know what the protocol is to get Woody on. I would love to hear you with Woody for 15
minutes.
Yeah,
I want to get him.
Yeah. I know you love the guy.
I want to get him on. You know what? If I can get him on the show, we've had him on the show before he was hired. If I can get him on the show, I would, but at the least, I would see if they'd let me do a podcast with him. You know, something like
that. Yeah, I don't care how it's broadcast.
He's
the thing
tremendous.
Is, I'm only thinking maybe you got to get Tibbs first because you don't want to usurp his authority. He's got a lot of street cred in the NBA.
I'll say this, Mike.
I'd love for you to talk to him. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I'm still shaking my head, but that's a two-way. That's a one-way deal, right?
No, it's non-guaranteed.
Right, so, okay, he still can't shoot in my book. He just fell off the map.
He's a defender. He's a tough, physical guy that can defend.
Another number two pick who plays forever, Marvin Williams, another guy. They never work out. They're okay, you know. But I don't know what we're going to do. I think we'll win 20 games, 18, 20 games again. Maybe we'll sort it out. I'd like to see this kid quickly get some minutes. He can shoot. He may be the best shooter on the team.
You know what? And thanks for the call, Spike. As always, I gotta watch. It's really what it's about. I gotta watch and figure it out. But I can tell you that Tom Thibodeau didn't take this job to tank. I can tell you that right now. He did not take this job to tank. Let's take Steven in New Jersey. Steven.
Hey, what up, Alan?
How you doing,
man? Thank you for taking my call. Always a pleasure. I've been calling. I'm trying to call in for a while. I wanted to say I'm actually happy with what the Knicks have done. A lot of people was complaining, you know, why they didn't do this, why they didn't sign Gordon Hayward and all this. It would have been, you know, they signed Gordon Hayward. He played for a month and a half, get injured, then he out for you know, most of the season. And then, Fred, I like Fred VanVleet, but I don't think he's a leader enough to take a team like ours and bring it to the next level. He's a good, great player on a good team. Nothing outside of that. And then another thing I wanted to say is I hope the Nets go after James Harden to add to that because they're going to take away all those assets and Dinwiddie that you spoke on, Caris LeVert, DeAndre Jordan because of money because they got to, you know, balance out the money. But that's about it. And then once they all come together, it's going to be like a reality TV show like the Kardashians. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be really, really fun to watch those three personalities if that happens. But I'm already,
Steven, I got to tell you, man, be careful what you wish. I'm going to say it like that. All you Knicks fans that are hoping for James Harden to show up in Brooklyn, be careful what you wish. Because, yeah, you can laugh about the whole idea that maybe, you know, it'll be, you know, maybe a bowl of cornflakes, you know, but I'm telling you right now, that's three immensely talented players. Two of them that you could argue are two of the three best players in the game right now. Be careful what you wish. You put them on a team and you put them in New York in the East and you can write a ticket to the NBA Finals. Be careful what you wish. John in Brooklyn. Hey, John.
Yeah, hi, Alan. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to know, I know you and a lot of other people and myself, we wanted Westbrook to come to the Knicks. So I'd like to know, what's the story with that, and do the Knicks still want Westbrook?
I think there was like that, and I brought this up a while back. I know people got upset about it. They looked into it, as I said they should. The cost just didn't make sense on many levels. They could have easily just absorbed the contract into their space. That third year at $47 million was enough to make you hiccup. You know, it was that third year at $47 million when he's 35 years old. By that third year, you want that cap space to have some value to you as a way you can continue to build, right? So that's the concern. I mean, there's no doubt. I can tell you Tibbs wanted him. Because he's a coach. He wants to win now. And that guy's a killer. And he'd be everything. He'd be the Jimmy Butler again. He'd be that kind of player that Tibbs needs. But that third year, that's enough, as Stephen A. would say, for cause for pause. Dylan in Freehold. Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick, just wanted to make a point on something you mentioned about the Nets, Alan, right? So you're saying how they don't want to face tough, gritty, hardworking teams early on in the season. But I'm
Nobody
saying
does.
For the duration of the entire year, like, that's exactly who the Knicks have to be if they want to even dream of winning 20-something games, right? And I think for the first time in a long time, the Knicks finally have a head coach in place that's going to have these young guys prepared. Tibbs comes in and you immediately have an identity, which is something the Knicks have lacked, especially in their hires of people who are getting their first crack at a head coaching job. Or coming off of like a random, you know, successful season. I'm thinking Hornacek when I say that. So I think there are some positives. Although, like, man, I'm 25 years old. I want to root for a winner. But it starts with being competitive, and I think that's a great place to start with Tom Thibodeau.
I'll tell you what, Dylan, it's why I said, and thanks for the call, it's why I said what I said. Right now, Tom Thibodeau is the most important player on the team, and he's a coach. But that's what you got. And all the things that Dylan said, it's basically what, if you're asking what are you expecting, like if I had, like giving my optimism about the season, I'll do the best I can. All right, here come the orange and blue glasses are going on. Okay, the orange and blue Kool-Aid, and I'm drinking it right now, and this is what I'm saying. The Knicks are coached hard. Play hard. The guys like RJ, who's tough-minded, Obi Toppin, tough-minded, athletic. You know, you get those kind of guys, become your cornerstone. You empower them as this is your team going forward. You guys are the leaders. The vets support. And Tibbs has them playing hard, where every night they're that team. You're like, man, I hate playing this team. And they don't win. They don't win a lot because you just can't expect it. But they just play so damn hard. That you just see, all right, there's something now. There's something here. That's my optimism. Just what Dylan said. You become that team that the star teams hate playing. Because I don't even know who the hell that guy is. And he's right in my face. This Mitchell Robinson character. I can't make a corner three because he's flying out at me. They're just lobbing the ball up at the rim. And there's Toppin, there's Robinson, there's Knox. I can't keep up with these guys. Like that's what you want to see. If I can see that. You're heading in the right direction with $70 million in cap space to spend next offseason and another high draft pick. Like, that's the best optimism I can come up with. Oh, you're telling me, oh, the league has a 7 versus 10 now, and, you know, the 10th seed now will have a play-in for a playoff spot, and maybe the Knicks can do that? Man, let me just get to game one. I can't think about stuff like that. I want to see a team that competes its ass off. They have a coach whose teams do that. So it's a start. And let's see what they become. I don't know if some of you, if you follow me on the Facebook, see, I did it. I have a page, it's in my name, and it's all Knicks stuff. So if you're like a Jets fan or something, it's really all, it's totally just dedicated to Knicks. And it's got a pretty good following, and I've been doing video because I've learned that in my days as a writer, I would write blogs, and people liked reading blogs, and they would always tell me how they loved reading my blogs. And I would write blogs, and nobody would read them. I'm like, what the hell? Then, like, one day I did a video. I did, like, an FB Live, and it was just, like, insane how many people watched it and commented. And I'm like, all right, so I guess this generation doesn't read blogs. They'd rather watch video or watch, you know, literally a video podcast. So I do those. So you've seen me on MSG with the background that I have, right? On MSG, you can see, you know, and sometimes those who follow the show will see on our IG lives that I do with Bart, you'll see it as well. I'm in my office.
We'll do it live!
Yeah, we created a studio because we had to, out of necessity. And it's just a bunch of books and bookcases and stuff. So I just thought, let me update it. So I put, what I put together is, you know, I mean, it's modest. It's nothing like, you know, not like Woj or Jeff Passan.
Alan Hahn is a sweet jumper.
Thank you. So anyways, so I did one yesterday. And I've got to make sure I shout out the right guy because someone took a screenshot of it, put it on Twitter, and let me see. His name is Seth Moskowitz. So thank you, Seth Mosko. And he tagged Rate My Skype Room, which is a Twitter handle that has like over 300,000 followers. And they basically, yeah, exactly. This is 2020. They basically, what they do is they take people who go on TV and do their Skype or Zoom stuff for television, and they screenshot, and then they pick apart, like, the backgrounds, right? And so that's what they do, and they have fun, and they rate it. It's like Marchand, right? You know, like Andrew Marchand does his clicks, right, out of five. Although Marchand never listens to our show, so we never get any clicks. It's a shame. He must be at lunch.
That's funny.
I'm just kidding. I love Andrew. We used to be writers together. So anyways, Rate My Skype Room now decided they were going to jump in, and they took the picture that Seth grabbed off the screen grab, and they did this. They said, some books, some art, 2 Emmys, a shoe, 9 out of 10.
Are you kidding me?
Now, I have to let you know that the shoe, first of all, there's 4 Emmys, but one of them's being blocked by my big head. The third is behind my ear, but very visible, so bad counting. The shoe happens to be a freaking Patrick Ewing.
Have you ever said this?
Yeah, like a Ewing, like a literally a game-worn Patrick Ewing. Like, come on now. It's not just a shoe. And they also miss the fact they have a piece of the garden floor on there, too, but you'd have to zoom in to see that. And the art was actually a pretty cool cartoon that somebody drew of me. And
just Google it.
My Knicks Fix crazies on a monitor behind me. Yeah, I put a monitor behind me. I'm not crazy. So they gave me a 9 out of 10. But the whole shoe thing is hysterical. So I just made a joke of it. And, of course, now everybody's taking it too serious. So if you get a chance, check my Twitter at Alan Hunt. And actually, our Barton Hunt also retweeted it as well. And check it out and tell me what you think. But it was pretty cool. Room Raider, it's called. This is what they do. This is 2020. We raid people's backgrounds. 9 out of 10, I should be happy. But we'll see. Anyways, I'll get back to the calls. But right now, audio files.
The audio file.
We got some RJ Barrett for you, too. Fresh out of the oven. Piping hot. In his first comments of the new season from earlier today. But instead, first, we begin, however, let me get to the page, with football. Damar Smith was on KJZ this morning and had very interesting comments about the state of football, where we are right now with a lot of COVID cases, games being postponed, pushed around, as I told you about the Steelers-Ravens game now is playing Wednesday. It was supposed to be played Thursday. It's almost a week later, and they're going to play now? Damar Smith on KJZ saying football isn't essential.
We're not an essential business. We've tried to structure football around, can we keep our players safe? Can we put on a game our guys want to play, or certainly our fans want to see it? And we've structured the collective bargaining agreement this year. But, you know, let's not forget that the real people who are fighting on the front lines are our doctors, our nurses, our first responders. And those are a lot of people who are working under tough circumstances who aren't getting paid that much to begin with. And we certainly know that there's literally hundreds of millions of people out of work.
All of that is true, but it still is a business, and that business is still essential to a lot of people, which includes not just the players, but the networks, those who work for the networks, the teams. I mean, there's a lot of people that are still connected here. So you might not think it's essential as far as something that everyday life needs. But then again, let's remember life without sports and something to watch. I don't think it's that difficult for the NFL to figure out a way to just behave yourself. Something that Pete Carroll is very proud of is the fact that the Seahawks are the one team in the league that has not had a single COVID issue. It can be done. It can happen. Players have to take it upon themselves. So Smith is talking about, obviously, from player standpoint, but players have to understand, hey, all right, you know what? We're essential to us. See, essential is in the eyes of the beholder. It might not be essential to everyday life, but it is essential to those who work in that sport and need that income. Not just players who make millions, but how about staffers who make 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, interns? It does matter. So just keep a mask on and stay out of the club, please. Speaking of which, as we mentioned, the Steelers-Ravens game being pushed now to Wednesday, 3:40 is the kickoff. Hilarious. Zach Banner, the tackle from the Steelers on Freddie and Fitz, not happy about the game being pushed back again.
At some point, there has to be a decision made that we're going to play this game. Like, I just don't see how, honestly, and this is how kind of most of us feel, we just don't understand how the whole Denver thing, like, I understand, like, you know, there's been people getting tested every single day. That probably is the only rational reason. They're not sure if there's any more contagious people over there, but, I mean, Denver just played without any quarterback. You know what I mean? They just brought their guy up off a P-squad, so I thought we have extended rosters for a reason, but that's just me.
It's an interesting point, right? Like, why don't you just play? Well, probably they looked at Denver and thought, you're not essential. You're not essential to a playoff. You're not essential. Like, we got to play this game. So do what you got to do. But Ravens, Steelers, this game's too important for us to let, have them go with half a roster or practice squad guys. He's right. What's the thinking? There's a reason why you have the extended roster, so you can fill in the holes of the guys that have to be quarantined. But they're making that choice. And so we'll see what the impact is, because you know it'll have residual impact now going forward. As we said, the Ravens' next game is Tuesday. So we're going to play a game in the NFL on every day of the week this year. Every single day we'll have an NFL game at some point. All right, moving on. Let's get to the NBA. As we told you, Media Day today at 98.7 ESPN. We are the home of the Knicks, as you know. And so we will have all the Knicks games and the coverage and everything else when the season begins. RJ Barrett, the first player to speak of this on the season. He met with the media earlier today. Very interesting comments. The first one, let's remember, by the way, when we talked to Quinnen Williams earlier in the show. It's great that we have him, and now we have RJ. Quinnen Williams, I asked him specifically about Saban. He loved Saban, talked about how Saban didn't even have to be there because he already has the standard in place and the players know it. And I asked him about a tough coach and what that's like, and he says, no, I like that. You want that. So maybe we have this new, this younger generation, maybe we have them all wrong. Maybe we think they don't take to tough coaching. But in fact, those who experience it realize this is exactly what I need. So here's RJ Barrett when he's asked about playing for a tough coach like Tom Thibodeau.
To me, it's not as hard driving as everybody says it is. I've always had coaches like that my whole life. I mean, that's what I like. So to me, he's just being a good coach. I mean, he has a great, you know, style of play. He has a great way that he wants, you know, our team to approach the game. And he knows how to win. He knows how to win at the highest levels. He's won a championship before. So, you know, we're lucky to have him.
Lucky to have him indeed. And remember, RJ Barrett did spend a year with Coach K at Duke. Coach K is a tough coach, no doubt about it. And we'll see what kind of impact the Tibbs has on RJ Barrett. Meanwhile, RJ's rookie season was, would you say, a mediocre one. Number three pick, he had good moments. He was really starting to pick it up towards the end before the stoppage. Unfortunately, never got to really see him finish the season strong. But his numbers were all right. The shooting numbers, not good at all. And I think that, the efficiency and the amount of time he got on a really bad team cost him. The voters would not, and this is the media, did not put him on either all-rookie team, first or second team. It's amazing. The amount of minutes he played, the scoring that he did, he put up. He was tops among rookies in scoring and rebounding. And it didn't matter. He was not considered an all-rookie player by the media. And so he was asked, did that bother you?
Bothered me a lot. I'm not gonna lie. Bothered me a lot. I really don't understand why I wasn't on it. But, you know, it's motivation for next season. Just gotta, you know, it's good. I have an extra chip on my shoulder. You know, just prove myself even more.
I like that. Don't even act like it didn't bother you. Sometimes we get that, right? Sometimes you hear a young player and you ask them a question like that and they'll quickly tell you, no, I don't even pay attention to that stuff. I only control what I can control. You know, they give you all the platitudes and all the catchphrases that they learn along the way, and they use those as cover up for their emotions. RJ Barrett just basically told you what he was feeling. Yeah, it bothered me. And I'm going to carry that as a chip on my shoulder this year. That's it should. It should motivate him. That's when you know he's made of some good stuff. That's what I like about RJ. That's why I believe in him. Everybody tells me, oh, he can't shoot. He's never going to be this. Don't tell me what he can't be. Tell me what he can be. Because I know what he's made of. So I like that answer. And now we'll see how much of that did fuel you in the offseason and how much of that will continue to fuel you in your second season. 800-919-3776 is the number. So we'll get to the calls. We'll get a couple more calls in here before we call it a day. Just a few more minutes left in the show. Just to recap a lot of stuff going on today. So Ravens Steelers will be tomorrow. 3:40 will be the kickoff for that game, which was supposed to be a night game on Thursday, Thanksgiving night. Think about that for a minute. You're going to play it now on a Wednesday. So technically, this is still week 12. And then the Steelers will play Monday night. Ravens will play Tuesday night next week in their week 13. And both it's a Cowboys and Washington and the Eagles. Are involved in those games. So for the Giants, you know, you're waiting an extra day or two to see what's going on in your division. We're also waiting to see about Daniel Jones and his availability. He does have a bit of a hamstring strain. I guess it could have been worse. So up in the air still about Sunday, and I'm sure they'll take that all the way to the end before they let you know, because why not? So we'll see if he even gets any snaps in practice this week whatsoever. But the Giants are right now at least, can't say sitting pretty at 4-7, but in position as far as a division, is still very much right there for them, and we're in December. If I told you in August that in December the Giants would be in first place playing for the division. You wouldn't believe me for a minute. So you take it. Exactly. So you take it. So you got that going on. If you missed Quinnen Williams, we had him on earlier in the show. Q was fantastic. He was really good. I mean, it was a fun interview. I enjoyed talking to him. And he was very outspoken about how he feels about being a Jet, how he feels about the young players on this team going forward. And he really opened up about Mekhi Becton and what it's like going up against him every practice and how he talks to him. And the best stuff is what he learned from 1 year to another, from his rookie year to this year. So it'll be on the podcast. We'll get all that stuff up after the show. But it's a must listen if you're a Jets fan. He was fantastic. But I don't like going too deep into the COVID stuff. But because we are where we are right now, and we're starting another league's going to start with the NBA and no fans in most of the buildings. NFL, you're seeing fans scattered about, but still, and they're going through a lot of different players going through COVID. I think the NBA is going to have to do the same thing. Some players are going to test positive. You're traveling around, it's just bound to happen. Somebody can't help it, and they got to get wings in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Some guys can't help it. They got it. They need it. It'd be cold in me. And so when that happens and you get a little COVID on your sleeve, and you maybe somebody that you sit next to, he gets a little COVID on his sleeve. And now the next thing you know, you got two players who have COVID and they can't play. Well, then you get quarantined and the game goes on. They're going to have to figure that stuff out. They're going to have to play through it this time. And Adam Silver has said so. But Dr. Fauci, who's been out there still talking, he told Yahoo that he believes it's possible that the NFL will be able to have full stadium capacity by next September. Now, we've heard the CDC has already said that they believe by quarter three of 2021, we should be back to quote-unquote normal life, believing that with several of these vaccines now that are, Pfizer and Moderna, feel like that they're pretty close to be able to distribute the vaccine that will help put an end to this pandemic, that we'll get back to normal life at quarter three. Quarter three is generally July. So, of course, you would think that, okay, the NFL season, you can have full stadiums. But that's, right now, that does feel like a different world right now. So that at least some optimism going forward is you feel like, all right, we're not out of the woods, but we're towards the end now. At least you're on the downhill. Just do the right things, everybody. I'm not here to preach. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I'm also going to tell you, though, that you might have rights, but so do other people that are around you. Just keep that stuff in mind. All right, some rules are not made just for you. They're made to also protect other people. Is it that big of a deal? Just put the damn mask on. All right, just be respectful. And we'll get through this, and then normal life will come back. That's it. And maybe, you'll have an NBA season with full build. Get people in the building again, get the excitement, get your energy. Just feel normal again. I mean, don't you want to be at the draft and boo the Jets pick? No, you don't, because it's going to be the number one pick. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. It'll be the first time the Jets fans cheer. We'll see. Sorry, Sam. It's just where we are right now. All right, 800-919-3776. How many calls can we grab here real quick? How about Tyler in Yonkers? Been waiting a bit. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Good.
So I had a quick question. Well, how do you feel about the Julius Randle and Obi Toppin situation? I think Tibbs is going to end up going with Randle starting only because there's not a real training camp.
I'll tell you why.
Toppin would start.
Maybe if you had a full camp, but I'll tell you why you go with Randle. Listen to this. In a league that the NBA, where there are players who are making $40 million in a season, the Knicks don't have a single player making more than 20.
Wow.
And Julius is the
only change, right?
Yeah, right. And Julius, it's a good point. I covered it back in the days where guys were making too much money. Julius Randle is going to make $19 million. So he's the only player over $10 million on the team. He's your highest paid player. You're not going to bring him off the bench. He's going to start.
Right, absolutely.
Now, the question is, can Obi Toppin show you that he could play the three? I worry about it. And I wonder if the better thing to do is, like you said, you start Randle, you bring Obi off the bench, you figure out ways to play them together at times. Instead of trying to do, remember, you're not old enough to remember Kenny Walker. Kenny Walker was drafted by the Knicks. He's a four out of Kentucky, and they made him play the three. He was not a three. It never made sense. Mm. It didn't fit.
It just didn't work out.
Just don't do that to Obi Toppin, in my opinion.
So I feel like Obi Toppin, he needs a pick and roll point guard, and our point guard situation is the most.
Well, that's why Dennis Smith's going to get that opportunity, though, I think, Tyler, because he is that point guard. You just got to get him right. It's all good questions, though, Tyler. All good questions. Anthony and Copeg. Anthony.
Alan, how are you, sir?
What's up?
I just want to say that you and Bart and your whole team, Anthony, everybody, like the highlight of my day.
And, Han.
Yeah, and I want to say I'm 53 years old. I'm a very, very long time suffering Knicks fan. This is the first time in a long time I've had confidence in the front office. I'm going to have confidence until they show me otherwise. I'm not happy with the point guard situation, but I'm going to put my confidence in Rose and Worldwide West and Payne and the rest of them to figure it out. And with that being said, man, you and your families all stay safe. Have a happy Merry Christmas and happy holidays and all that good stuff. I love you guys, man. Take care.
Appreciate you, Anthony. You too as well. Look, confidence only goes by demonstrated performance. I'm stealing from Chris Canty. I don't even think I got it right, but close enough. And for the Knicks, what they've demonstrated is the ability to at least get pieces to help them rebuild. But I haven't seen them yet do something that you would think an agent who's represented some of the biggest players in the game do. That is attract talent. They're going to have to probably trade for talent. They've got space to do it. They've got flexibility to do it. That's going to take time. But for now, it's up to the coaches. So we'll see. So a new season begins in the NBA, and the NFL continues as well, and we'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.